finished, said the mother. Before you sit down, you must always say, Mother dear, how may I be of service?
I said I'm finished, said the mother. I don't need help now.
The girl should learn.
The mother turned away. She was preparing the puja plate and placed a whole laddu beside the tiny holy things necessary for the rite, a pile of uncooked rice, an oil lamp still unlit, kumkum and sandalwood paste to be smeared wetly, and a small brass bell. Vidya was glad that she had not been pressed into service in the kitchen, not because she disliked chores, though she did, but because the sight of so much food all at once, brought on a kind of fright in her. It was not time to eat yet, and she had been scolded out of the kitchen several times, not even a taste, and sat on the divan swinging her legs with anxiety. Would there be enough? What would she eat first? What would this brother be like? Would she know him? What if the brother ate everything and there was nothing left for her? Recently, the sight of food cooking in the stalls along the side of the road, jalebis, bhel, aloo tikki, sev puri, made her feel a wretchedness that was like falling ill. It was dulled only after the morning glass of milk, if she got the morning glass of milk, which, now that aunt not mother and cousins not brother's hungry mouths had vanished, she was given every morning, and sometimes in the evening also. Father Sir left before she woke and returned after she was asleep. And on the weekends he would see her and say, Well? This made her uncontrollably shy, and she would mouse down into her dress and say, Yes, sir. What time does the train get in?
1.
So go now. You don't want to make them wait?
I won't make the train come any faster.
But she was nearly pushing him out the door. He put his shoes on in the hallway. He was laughing and said again, I won't make the train come any faster. Then there he was downstairs, walking through the dusty courtyard, straight through a cricket game of the Charlie's boys. They paused and watched him while he passed, in white, a dhoti and a clean kurta. When Father Sir was gone from the window, Vidya turned to watch the mother again. She had forced herself down into stillness, sat with her hands folded and gripped hard on her lap. She was muttering something under her breath, barely audible, forbidding vowels. Then she fixed her eyes on her daughter and said, Come here. Vidya crossed the width of the apartment to the chair where the woman sat, a distance of no more than a few feet. The woman touched her daughter, fixing, smoothing what couldn't be fixed or smoothed, the wild puff of hair that fuzzed up the girl's neat braid, the wrinkles sweated into her good dress. Do you love your brother?
Yes, said Vidya dutifully.
Then you must tell him. You must say, Welcome home, my dear brother. Vidya nodded. And you must care for him, like a mother.
No, she was to be a not mother. She looked at the woman with panic. I thought you were the mother.
Yes, she said, her tone quickening. I am the mother, but what I mean is, you'll have to help me take care of him.
Why?
Because he is your brother.
Will I be the mother? No, I am the mother.
Then, exasperated, she stopped speaking. The apartment was filled with the smell of food. It was like a dream or a nightmare. So many smells. Vidya had dreams where she was eating everything, kulfi and hanvo and rotis and dal and kheer. She fell upon her knees and ate like a dog, crying out with pleasure and joy. But in these dreams, the food never filled her. It was like eating fistfuls of air, woke with that hard pain in her stomach and couldn't sleep sometimes until dawn. Each minute ripened. It was incredible how much time could be contained in the increments measured by the clock. She thought she would ask...